Hi, this is Kyle Higgins, and you're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
Hey guys, Dan here. I just wanted to put up a little preemptive message before this episode begins, because we had a couple audio issues with this episode. We lost the first few moments of this podcast, so you'll notice it starts mid-conversation as Greg is discussing an outing he had to a local restaurant that did not go as ideally planned. But he didn't miss much beyond that, just some pleasantries and all that good stuff. And instead of just trying to recapture that magic, we'll just pretend that you heard it and you can input your own ideas of what we said. You know, why not? Anyways, enjoy.
You are now on the inside of what I like to call the circle of trust.
So, we're the back room. It's just an awkward situation. It's not that
we are all
there,
connected.
So we decided to just
the great circle of life.
To the bar. Sit down.
You know something, Bert? I think you and I are going in circles.
Like a drink thing. I start like that.
It feels like we're going in circles.
Wait, like 3 or 4 minutes.
The circle is now complete.
Trio.
When I left you, I was but the
third.
Now I am the master.
Hey, how's it going, everybody? Hi.
Yeah, we heard about the circus.
Yes, we're familiar with Shaper.
The party almost with the kids' table. So they sit back there, and we're like, okay, that's weird. We didn't get a high or anything. We just got a weird look. So he goes back there, hands them menus, takes their drink order, and goes back to the bar. Makes their drinks and takes it back to them. All the while, we're still sitting there, no menu. And then another 4 or 5 minutes pass, and another trio of people come in and sit to a table that just opened up right next to us. And when they come in, the bartender was distracted, and then one of the ladies turns around, apparently knows him. Oh, hi, Steve. And Steve's like, oh, hey, how's it going? And they go sit down, and they're moving around a bit and checking out this one chalkboard that has, like, the burger of the month, and are talking amongst themselves. And Steve walks down the end of the bar and goes, I'll be right with you guys. And so I wasn't sure if he was talking to me and my mom or this new trio of people that came in. My mom was getting hungry. She kind of gets grumpy if she's hungry. She gets hangry. And she's like, do you want to leave? I'm like, wait a minute. I want to see if he takes care of this table first over us. And that's exactly what happened. He puts menus on their table. And I'm like, yeah, we can leave now, Mom. Let's go. And so we get up, put on our jackets. As we're leaving, I turn to the guy as he's waiting on these people. I was like, hey, thanks for the great service, bud. And he turns, looks at me and smiles, goes, oh, you're welcome. And I was just like, I turned around. I'm like, what? In my head, I'm like, floored. I'm like, what the hell is up with this guy? Is he just so dense? Or was I just not sarcastic enough? Because in those kind of situations, I'm not good with the conflict. So I wasn't sure if I sounded sarcastic enough or what. But we just busted it out of there, and we just ended up going to Buffalo Wild Wings because my mom's never been there before. They had much better service there than this little local place.
Is it maybe one of those places where you have to like go up and order, like a Five Guys where you go up and order? And
No, because he walked over to the other table that came in, and he walked to this one that came in as well. So it wasn't like you were supposed to get up and go to the bar and ask him for a menu or anything.
Yeah.
He was just going up to him, and it wasn't like he noticed us because we came in and I was looking him in the eye. He was looking me in the eye, and we kind of like moved around the place a little bit too, trying to find a table that we liked. And so it was like the other people just kind of walked in and sat down, and it was like they weren't as well established in the place as my mother and I were. Like it was just the most bizarre thing ever. Yeah. And I posted a message on their Facebook about it and have heard nothing back. So, and I've heard from other people that the service there is terrible and really slow. Like people have ordered their food and it's taken like 2 hours for them to get food. Yeah.
Ouch.
So it's kind of even worse than that wing place that we like to frequent. So, like, their service there is bad, but this place is even worse. Yeah. And I think the place we go for wings has even actually gotten better with their service as of the last couple of times we've been there. Yeah. So this place is just really bad.
Especially if, like, I can kind of understand that if it's super busy, but when you have, like, two other people there, that's kind of ridiculous. So, well, on the bright side,
but
the weather's been beautiful.
I hope you have a bright.
It's been really...
The weather has been beautiful. I was hoping you had something personally in your life that was going on that was good.
I mean, beyond the normal. Well, one cool thing, the Oscars have come out, but I didn't do it last year, but for like the last 6 years, I do the Best Picture Showcase at AMC. And what it is that they show all the Best Picture nominees over a 2-weekend span. And so I spend the entire day at the theater, which, you know, as someone, I don't go to the movies at all anymore. So it's kind of fun to go back and spend the day. Like the first day that I went, saw Manchester by the Sea, which I hadn't seen up to that point. Also saw Fences and Hell or High Water, and I'll finish the night with La La Land. So I saw La La Land and Hell or High Water before, but it was good kind of seeing both in the theater. That was a good time. I think you would like Hell or High Water a lot. It's a kind of a modern heist film / like urban modern Western. I know you're kind of sick of Westerns, but it's not like it's not like a John Ford film, but it's directed by Dave McKenzie, who did another movie I love called Startup. This has Chris Pine and Jeff Bridges, and it's really good. It's like a really well paced. Seeing it second time, I ended up even liking it more than I liked it the first time. So I enjoy that a great deal.
There is a beer that I like that's called Hell or High Water Melon. That's really good.
That's a risky thing, like having the name of your beer with water, because then it's like you're just setting yourself up for people saying.
No, it was really good. It definitely had a watermelon flavor to it, which was really good. I like watermelon, so it was really nice. Don't go to IPA. So
cool. The other thing I did as well is I caught up with some TV shows. One I wanted to talk about. Have you watched Powerless on NBC at all?
No, I see them a lot on the back of my DC Comics. That they've been advertising that a lot. Haven't checked it out. Saw like a trailer for it. Seems interesting, to say the least. Probably the best part of that looks like Alan Tudyk.
Yeah. So for those that don't know, it's a show on NBC. It is a show that technically exists in a DC universe. I don't think it's not existing in like the actual cinematic universe, but it's about these people, everyday people who live in a world of superheroes. And it stars Vanessa Hudgens, Alan Tudyk, like you mentioned, David, the guy who played Abed in Community, David Pudi, I believe. And they work for this organization that tries to find ways and gadgets and inventions for people to survive in the world of superheroes. And I kind of like the premise. I think there's potential there. NBC has some pretty good comedies, even some good ones right now. I would highly recommend watching Superstore. If I need something to watch that's just very much comfort food, Superstore is that. It's not like, I think, a great show, but it knows what it is, and it's just joyful, I guess you would say. Powerless is kind of a mess, to be honest with you. I can't recommend it at all at any level. It could get better. You know, there have been shows that have had bad first seasons, bad first few episodes, and eventually I think of something in Parks and Recreation. It didn't really find itself until the second season. That could happen here. It does feel like a show that's not really sure what it wants to be yet. The jokes just aren't really funny for the most part. Like, it feels like a show that wants to be Community but ends up with jokes that would fit better on Big Bang Theory. Like, for example, they'll throw out references and to different characters and things like that, but they're just like buzzwords that don't really make any sense. Because they'll say, like, the Flash was fighting and he escaped from the Phantom Zone with another villain character. So, like, they'll be saying all these characters' names, but when you to try to, you know, let fans know, like, hey, like, we're talking about characters you love, but they do it in ineffective ways that really don't make sense. The second episode had, like, a fantasy superhero league thing that was going on, and I thought that could have been something cool, but it ended up being kind of just kind of weird. I feel like Alan Tudyk does what he can, but his character, he plays like the boss. He's like Bruce Wayne's like cousins or something like that, who's not nearly as famous as Bruce and is trying to be. So he's a little, you know, inadequate in that end. He's trying to find ways to make up for it. Vanessa Hudgens is like the small town girl who lived in like middle of the country, who's come to the big city to try to make it for herself, and she's has to take over this ragtag group of scientists who kind of just want to play video games rather than actually do their work. So the characters aren't all that great at this time. No one really stands out, even people that you like. So I don't know. It's not awful. It's just really underdeveloped, I think. Like, they need better writers, but not really using their talent as much as they could. Like, I feel like Alan Tudyk could be a lot more than they're giving him. So,
interesting. Yeah, it didn't really look like a show I would enjoy, and you're kind of selling it as one I won't enjoy, really.
Yeah, it's not good. It feels like a show that belongs in TBS. If that makes any sense, you know, just very.
Okay.
I'm surprised there's not a laugh track with some of the jokes.
It seemed like the whole Flash scenario with the like seemed weird. It seemed like they were mixing characters and not really knowing what was going on, kind of.
Yeah, and like I said, it could become something better. But it was kind of a dud. I've heard the third episode gets a little bit better. I haven't seen it yet. But I think tonight, as we're recording this, the fourth episode's being released. So I can check back. I'll stick with it just because I usually give at least three, sometimes four episodes for a show. Maybe I'm not paying attention greatly. It could be in the background. I'm doing something else. But I'll at least give it another shot. But you watch a show as well. But I think it's a show that's not even airing anymore. But still.
No, I don't think it is. I found it on YouTube. Somebody kind of like put it on there and changed it a little bit so they wouldn't get copyright infringement or anything like that. So you could find this show on YouTube. And I actually really recommend it. It's a lot of fun. It's called Race to Escape. It's got comedian, podcaster, host on there. I forget his name at this point, but he opens... opens for Conan before the show. He does a live. Jimmy Pardo. That's it. Jimmy Pardo.
Never Not Funny, right? That's his podcast.
Yeah. And so he's the host, but you don't really see him much. He just kind of adds these little things in between parts of watching the contestants. And it's essentially an escape room challenge for money. They're doing it. It's two teams going against each other. Their rooms are identical except for the colors, and that's show you which team's which and differentiate between the two so you can tell. And so Jimmy Pardo will throw in little funny quips. So somebody will be like not paying attention to something that's right in their face, and it's called this, and the science says blah blah blah. So he throws in these little like fun facts kind of and terminology for different things that are going on. But I got really into it. I was kind of yelling at my TV. It's like one of those things where it's like, these people are morons. If I was on the show, I wouldn't be doing things like this. I'd be much smarter than that. I would have found that instantly, kind of thing. Because like some of the stuff, like you're supposed to find these key codes to put into this pad that's next to this giant like bank door. And so you have to like find five numbers, but you have to get through other little tasks to even get the number to put in. And they start off each game with the contestants locked into different scenarios. So there, for this one, it was a guy locked to a chair at a table, and the chair wouldn't move or anything. And his keys were on the other side of the table in a little jar. But his other two partners were attached to these bamboo sticks with like little hockey pucks attached to the end. And the hockey pucks were behind like a bunch of plexiglass. So they couldn't pull them out. They had to go through this giant maze to this spot where there's this giant opening where they can just pull them out. And so then they could kind of move around and grab keys to get out of things. Well, this one guy is yelling, he was more concerned about getting himself out of the handcuffs than getting the people stuck in the maze out of their handcuffs. He's like, yeah, I don't see a way out of the maze, guys. Where's the keys for me? Do you think you could, there's keys around here for me? And also these people in the maze, had blindfolds on. So they had to go with what this guy was saying. And he was not giving out instructions at all, really. But then they eventually get out, and so does the other team. And they must spend half their time. So it's an hour-long search that they have to get out from. And money's dwindling as time goes on. And these people are looking for this code. And it was on the maze itself the whole time in big, big black letters. And it's like completely obvious, and it should have been completely obvious to the person sitting down and giving directions. And I am screaming at my TV. It's that good that I'm screaming and getting that hyped about it. But it also really makes me want to try an escape room really bad to prove to myself that I can actually do it and that I am more intelligent than these people. Probably not. I'll probably miss stuff right in front of my face too, but it was just great stuff to watch. And I kind of looked up to see if there was other kind of escape room stuff on YouTube, and there's on Geek and Sundry. It looks like they're starting like a celebrities kind of going to escape room, and they don't have like the greatest celebrities because it's just a little internet kind of production show on Geek and Sundry. So they had like Felicia Day, and it's like, of course Felicia Day is going to be on there, and she's their big celebrity because she runs Geek and Sundry. But another one had the biggest one on that one, I thought, was Jason Ritter, John Ritter's son, and he's been on quite a few TV shows and made a name for himself. So it's kind of fun to watch them go through and do these little puzzles and everything and try and figure everything out. John Ritter was actually very good at figuring out all these puzzles. So I would definitely recommend people checking out that show. Like I said, it was really good, and it's kind of free online because somebody is blatantly trying to cut past copyrights. Like, they have it so Jimmy Pardo has this high, squeaky voice and everything, and all the contestants do.
So that does it make it unwatchable at all, considering it's like...
I kind of like started watching it at work, and so like they had the normal screen was mostly like Jimmy Pardo in a still image, and then the TV show was in like one quarter of what the screen is, so it was tough to watch on that.
Yeah.
So I came home and watched it on my big screen TV in my room, and I could actually see it a lot better. The voices didn't really throw me off that much. I kind of got used to it as time went on.
Yeah.
So the biggest thing was you kind of need to watch it on like a big screen.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're kind of squinting for it. But it was definitely watchable.
It would be really funny if it's like streaming on Netflix or Hulu or like something, a service you have.
Probably. And then I tried to look it up real quick, and then I got frustrated because it's like hard to find it on like online, like just typing in like the name of something and trying to figure out what streaming service it's on.
There's a website called Can I Stream It that you could use.
Oh, okay.
That might make it easier. I think there's another one too, but I've heard that about that one in the past.
Okay.
All right, well, there's that. What was it called again?
Race to Escape.
Race to Escape, which is kind of the theme of life right now. If you watch the news, it's just like, I just want to escape reality. And we'll do that in our second segment as we talk about more of the news of the entertainment world, but maybe some just interesting and strange news stories that you may have missed. So more of that right after this break.
Hey guys, this is JD from the In Session Film Podcast. Every week on our show, you can join my co-host Brendan and I as we review the latest films that's out in theaters. It also inspires us to discuss a top three list of some sort, and we have a lot of other fun movie discussions as well. It's always a blast. And we also have a show on Fridays called our Extra Film Podcast. This is a show that gives us the space to talk about the latest indies and art films and other classics that we normally just don't get to talk about on our main show. You can find our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, SoundCloud, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, and more. In fact, you can just see everything about us, including our social medias, at InsessionFilm.com. So join us every week. We'd absolutely love to have you.
All right, and welcome back. Today we're just going to be having kind of a general discussion as we look into the world of strange entertainment news and kind of scoured the internet to find some fun stories I thought we could talk about and discuss about certain projects that are upcoming that might surprise us that it actually exists. As you know, we're getting things like an emoji film, and it seems like anything is possible these days. But
that's bizarre.
Yeah, I know, and there's a trailer for it, so it's happening. That's the world we live in. But there's this interesting comic that's coming out. And, you know, we're in the world of, there's a lot of crossovers when it comes to comics right now. We have currently the Power Rangers and the Justice League are teaming up. The Batman and Ninja Turtles are teaming up. And, of course, the team up we all wanted, Batman and Elmer Fudd. Yes, that is actually happening. It's not a joke, and it's actually having some impressive talent behind it. Recently, current Batman writer Tom King announced that he is writing an Elmer Fudd Batman noir that will be released. It has not indicated that who will be the artist. There has been a teaser image released, which is like a... It is a very, like, more realistic-looking Elmer Fudd with a gun and the hat and... Almost looks like it belongs in Killer Be Killed or something like that. But he indicated stunned by the...
Is this the one where it's kind of like a Batman shadow kind of behind him?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I think that's by Francesco Francavilla.
It's by...
Who does a lot of the Archie, the Life After Death Archie.
Well, maybe we'll be talking about different ones, because the one that was released was by Lee Weeks. And
I love Lee Weeks.
So he did the teamer. I think it's a Batman shadow, maybe not. I don't know. It's just Elmer Fudd like kneeling down in the shadows. Almost looks like he's going into combat. So I'm guessing, like, you know, based upon the fact it's a noir, it's gonna be more of a upgrade of Elmer Fudd rather than putting Batman in a more cartoony environment, but. Do you have any interest in this whatsoever? Would you pick this up?
Not really. Elmer Fudd for me at this point is a little bit too kiddish. So I really am, like, that's just a weird combination. Like, is like Batman helping Elmer Fudd kill Bugs Bunny? Because that's... or are they fighting against each other and Elmer Fudd's like the villain where he's trying to kill Bugs Bunny and so Batman's trying to help? It just seems weird to me. It's bizarre.
He's enlisting the help of Batman to determine, is it really duck season or is it rabbit season? That's their determination.
Seriously?
No, it's not. There's none of that. All that's been released at this point is that Tom King is writing it. We don't even know who the artist will be. How many issues? Is it a one-shot? Is it a mini-story? Like, you know, is it just an online thing? There's not been a lot of information about it, but...
You were right. It is Lee Weeks. It's not Francisco.
Yeah. So, I will say is I probably will pick this up just out of sheer curiosity. I actually have liked kind of what DC's been doing with some of the Warner Brothers... You know, cartoon things of Loving Flintstones. Scooby-Doo Apocalypse has been okay. The Racky Racers is not perfect. I don't love it, but I kind of at least appreciate the effort. So I think that maybe that this could work if done right. I don't know. It's crazy enough it might work. I don't think it's something that should be ongoing or anything like that, but...
Short little mini series kind of thing.
Yeah, even a one-off, you know, something that like they do it and never do it again. I don't know. I just seems like, who comes up with that combination? I don't know if you follow Tom King on Twitter, but he's always like posting images of like him playing with his kids' toys, and they're like the toys from the 90s. And I think maybe that's what happened. He just had a Batman toy and Elmer Fudd toy. It's like, you know what? I'm making this into a comic. And now he's doing it.
He's like, I'm doing really great on Batman right now. I could do this. I could get away with it.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if you heard about this either, but I know it's making a lot of waves in the world of the geek world, consider especially those that kind of that grew up in the 90s like us. But Bangarang, apparently...
Oh, I heard this one.
You heard this one. Apparently, the actor who played Rufio in the Hook film is trying to get a Rufio prequel off the ground. He's using Kickstarter. They already reached their goal to make a short film, but now they're trying to, I think, get their goal, $200,000, to do a feature-length or near-feature-length movie. You know, I'm guessing he's not starring in it, but the
guy... Oh, I would hope not. That would be weird.
Yeah, I know. True. Maybe he was older when he did it, so I don't know if he'd, like, they would try to DH him or something like that. I don't know.
His part in the film be? Would he be like director, just a producer, or
he would definitely be producer, maybe writer. I don't know, because this was really on Reddit and people were talking about copyrights and things like that, because there is a copyright to Peter Pan. It's not public domain. I thought it might be, but I guess it's not. But Rufio is a character that was created specifically for the Hook movie, but. Did they not retain the rights of that character since they haven't really done anything with it since then? Because I know there's characters like if you don't do anything with them, they become public domain. So
yeah,
I don't know. I don't know if like they would do a Rufio movie and it wouldn't. They have to like they can't call it Neverland, or they'd have to call it Almost Neverland. I don't know what exactly.
I think you would call it Bangarang.
Yeah. So I don't know.
You started off with that Skrillex song, Bangarang.
There you go. But would you have any interest in watching a Rufio prequel film?
I loved Hook. Didn't care for Rufio's character, but I'm kind of interested in seeing and kind of visiting that world again just for that. If they got Dustin Hoffman in there to play a reprise Hook, that'd be kind of cool. But I'm not sure if that would exactly work because I'm not sure if he would be too old for that role. I haven't even seen Dustin Hoffman like in any movies recently. So
he hasn't done a lot of films.
Yeah, so I would just watch it out of curiosity. I probably wouldn't go to the theaters to see it. If it was streaming on Netflix or something, I would definitely check it out there. But yeah, it's interesting. I would like to know where that story would kind of go.
Any chance that bizarre. you would take part in the Kickstarter and throw some shillings their way to help get it made, or you're just kind of like, I'll just watch it when
no, because there's things that have been a lot more interesting to me that I'd be like, oh, I should put some money in for this, and I just never have. So I always say that I want to do things on Kickstarter, but I just never do. I don't know why that is, but so I'll probably not participate in that. Like there was the Super Troopers one that was getting kickstarted. I'm like, oh, I should put money in for the Super Troopers too, but I just never did. I'm like, I have other things that I want to put my money towards.
Yeah. So you've never. I've never done the Kickstarter either. I thought about it a few times, like you, for different board games and things.
Games would be cool.
But I've never done it. No reason really.
My brother has. He put in quite a bit of money. There was some kind of gaming system for Android apps, so you could play it on your TV. So he put money in for that. And it took him a while to get the device and everything, but even when he did, like I've never heard of him using it. And he's like, yeah, I used it for like a little bit, but he hasn't really used it since. And I'm like, what the hell? Why would you put money in on it then? Like, what the hell's wrong with you?
Yeah. I know. That's what I hear. Like, I hear a lot of horror stories of things not going. I know there's been, like, stories of people who've, like, done Kickstarter and they got so much more than they ever anticipated and it was overwhelming and, like, they ended up, like, going crazy. So, you know, I don't think this will happen here, but, yeah. I am looking forward to seeing Super Troopers 2 when it comes out.
Yeah, definitely.
I didn't give any money to the Kickstarter, but I'm okay just waiting for it. Yeah. I don't know if that makes me a fake fan, but that's okay. I'm fine.
Well, they've been Broken Lizard's kind of been hit or miss with movies. Like
I would say they're very hit and very many misses. But yeah.
Yeah, so because Beer Fest was okay, Super Troopers was great. What else did they do?
Club Dread.
Club Dread was bleh. Yeah, it was just kind of a crappy satirical horror movie, slasher movie kind of thing. So
yeah, yeah, and I think they did the Slammin' Sammy, which I haven't seen. And
Slammin' Salmon.
Yeah, is that what it's called?
Where they're waiters. I haven't. Yeah, that's what it's called. I haven't seen that either.
I didn't. I just felt like they did that movie Waiting already. I don't need this. So I feel like.
Yeah, I liked Waiting, but weirdly enough, the one guy from Broken Lizard is actually on the P90X work at one of the workouts.
Really?
That I do.
Is it Farva?
Yeah, he's in there.
That'd be hilarious.
No, it's not Farva. It's what's his name? In Beer Fest, he was one of the brothers, and he was the one without the facial hair.
Oh, okay. I don't know his name, but I know what you're talking.
Yeah,
about.
And apparently he has a fake leg. Like he like doesn't have part of a leg.
Really?
I never knew that.
I'm sure Bonzi did not bring that up once in the movie.
Yeah, like use it as like some kind of like thing where his like gets his leg chopped off or something. Like I'm surprised that has not happened, but they don't mention it at all, and you never know that he has one in from those films. Like Tony Horton comes on, he's like, and what's his name will be doing this all on one leg, so I want to hear no excuses from you.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Unless it's like some sort of elaborate prank, but no, that's crazy.
Yeah.
So, next story here. Are you a Kevin Smith fan at all of his movies or him or his podcast?
I like listening to, like, if there's, I run out of stuff, I'll go listen to, like, some of his podcasts and everything. His movies are kind of even extreme for me, especially I watched Yoga Hosers.
Did you? I didn't even bother, to be honest with you.
Yeah, you shouldn't, Dan. it was the best thing probably was his daughter and Depp's daughter. They were kind of cute and fun in it. And the rest of it was like, Johnny Depp and the weird, awkward clothing. It was weird storyline, weird special effects. The whole thing was just kind of bizarre. I wish what's his name from the Mac commercials, and he was also in Waiting. I wish he would stop hanging around in that universe.
Justin Long. Is it Justin Long?
It's Justin Long. Very good. And Ralph Garman was kind of cool doing his voices, but it was just weird for the what kind of movie it was. Not really weird for what type of movie it was. It's just weird in general. It was like they tried to ham-fistedly try and get in his use of voices in there. But I want Kevin Smith to do good stuff. Like he has done good stuff. Like I loved Red State.
Yeah.
That was really unexpected movie that he did that was great, and I wish he would do kind of more stuff like that. I liked Dogma back in the day. Dogma, I thought, was really cool. Mallrats was okay. Clerks 2, didn't really see it. Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back was okay. Clerks was interesting, and I could see for the era that came out that why that one is considered as good as it is. But otherwise, he's a lot more miss than a hit, I think. I like him. I think he's a nice guy and like kind of interesting. But
I think
his career.
He's a better, I think. He's a good storyteller. That, you know, he did the Evening with Kevin Smith things and stuff like that were like.
Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, I watched those.
Long before he did his podcast. And those were it's hard watching those now because, like, different because he didn't have the podcast, so you got to hear those stories, but now they're kind of old hat.
Yeah, and he repeats his stories a lot.
Yeah, we all do that. But so I'm similar. Like, I like Kevin Smith. I like Clerks. It's good. I love, like, Dogma might actually be my favorite film of him. Mallrats is okay. I don't like it as much as a lot of people do. And Jay and Silent Bob, like, that was okay. But the reason I bring it up is because, you know, he is always trying to bring these characters back. You know, he did Clerks 2. He was trying to do a Mallrats movie, then moved into a TV show, and then I guess that wasn't
which I like that he has like these people that he likes and likes to put in his movies, and, yeah. and it kind of keeps like a consistent kind of universe going on. Like I think that's cool.
And I guess he is trying to continue that universe because so he doesn't have the rights, I guess, to Clerks or Mallrats. Speaking of rights again, but he does have the rights to the characters of Jay and Silent Bob. So he wants to write a Jay and Silent Bob reboot, but still, I guess, starring him and Jason Mewes. And the idea is that, well, if you saw the first Jay and Silent Bob Strikes Back, it's about like a movie's being made about them, and they're going to Hollywood to stop it. And I guess within this, a reboot is being made of that movie, so they're going to try to stop it again or something like that. I guess it's the premise being a meta coming out in itself or something. He tweeted out that that's what he's currently writing or working on. So I don't know if it'll be released similar to how he did Yoga Hosers and Tusk, which he does like his, himself. He does everything. It's not released by like a movie studio. It's just all done by him and his own studio. So I don't know if that's that's the plan with this, but would you have any interest in seeing him, or, you know, get out of the world of crazy horror films of Tusk and Yoga Hosers and getting back to kind of like his bread and butter of Jay and Silent Bob?
I want to support this guy because of his ideas about cinema in general, but like the movies that he's producing haven't been that great. I think that one I would like check out on Netflix because I do like to watch some garbagey type of films and cinema, mostly in horror. That's why I've been kind of like, okay, I'll see what he has, but it's just been so out there weird as opposed to horror satire kind of stuff that it's just a turnoff, and it's not even so bad, it's good kind of stuff. So I'd rather him just go see him go straight horror suspense kind of like Red State. His old stuff like that is okay overall. Like Chasing Amy it was interesting, but my thing with his stuff is he's known for his kind of like very talky kind of stuff going on. I'm not the biggest fan of that. I'd rather see like a little bit more action blended in, but I'll probably watch it anyway because I want to support this guy just for his some of his views about cinema in general, and trying to get support for movies and how movie studios are kind of run and everything.
So I respect Kenseth more than I think I like what he's a lot of his movies recently. Like I respect the fact that like he is doing what he wants to. Like, he's doing what he enjoys, and if people hate it, it's like, whatever, I made a movie I wanted to make. There's something admirable about that, but I also think the bad thing with Kevin Smith is that he kind of surrounded himself by yes men, or people who will just kind of not tell him no, or not tell him maybe you should rethink this, or are so relying on him to be successful that they're hesitant to be critical at all. So it's good, I think, sometimes to have there are some benefits to movie studios. There's sometimes like having an additional producer outside of yourself, you can make something better. You know, not always. Sometimes giving freedom is a good thing, but I think sometimes having someone saying maybe dial this back a little bit, like, could have made Tusk a better movie.
To have different voices in there so you get different solutions to that may work better than what your one-mindedness comes up with.
Yeah. So, again, him going back to Jay and Silent Bob, I don't know. I'm glad he's not doing a Clerks 3 because I don't think we need a Clerks 3. I don't think I would ever watch a Mallrats TV show. I don't have any interest. I mean, no one goes to malls anymore, so it seemed it would be kind of... Unless it was taking place in the 90s, and then I don't know. But I would, again, I might watch it out of curiosity, but I'm not really super excited about it. Jay and Silent Bob reboot movie, whatever he wants it to be. I just feel like those are characters that have kind of they've gone as far as they're going to go, and maybe you can do something with them. Maybe you can, you know, use them to comment on kind of the geek culture of today even more, like you did in the 90s. That is possible. It's not impossible, but I would say like he needs new ideas, but he's been doing a lot of new things. But So.
See, I think the thing that I did enjoy about Red State, and I've heard him talk about it, is the fact that when he was writing it, he wanted to go through the script and try something different of kind of going through and, okay, I'm going to start here. And I'm just going to take it to its extent when it feels like it's getting stale. I'm going to take it in a different direction and then go along. And then when I feel it stale again, take it in a different direction to keep people kind of guessing what's going on and keep it interesting. And I that worked really well for him in Red State. So I think if he kind of goes with that, with making movies, I think that would be really good. And I also enjoy the fact that he's kind of doing the superhero stuff that's kind of been established by somebody else, but he comes in and directs. It seems like he's having a lot of fun doing those. And the fact that somebody else set it up, I think, is better than if he was to set it up. I want to have faith in the guy, but I feel like it's better in somebody else's hands than his.
Yeah, yeah. I don't disagree with that. Interesting. So one more news story for me, and I don't know if you've been following the craziness of the next Batman movie, but there's been a lot of kind of turmoil. I don't know turmoil, but there's a lot of
The directors are all over the place. Ben Affleck split, and they're looking for somebody else. It sounds like a shit show.
I think that shit show is finally righting the ship a little bit. So with Ben Affleck, he decided he didn't want to direct anymore. They went out to Matt Reeves, and Matt Reeves then eventually said no. But now it looks like Matt Reeves is back on board to direct. Not only that, looks like he's, which I think is, I like Matt Reeves a lot. I think he's a really one of the best like popcorn blockbuster directors we have going today. So I think he could do a good job with Batman. And the other piece of that, though, which was even more surprising, was the announcement that they're also looking to make a Nightwing solo film, not a Robin.
I just heard about that like tonight on
that's
Twitter.
That's exactly it. It was just kind of announced today. When it's going to be released, how it's going to work exactly, I don't know. But do you like the Nightwing character to begin with, and do you think
especially the new stuff that's been coming out on him? I've never really read much of the old stuff of Nightwing, actually none at all. But I've been really liking, I've been reading since he was kind of going through this little bit of a spy phase, and the book was titled Grayson. And now he's recently come back again as Nightwing, and he's hanging out in Bloodhaven. I've really been enjoying that run so far. So I would be interested in seeing a Nightwing movie. I don't know how to establish that with his kind of starting out in his mythos. If we're going to just do it, like Ben Affleck's going to come in and they're going to make him look a little bit younger and kind of do a little bit of an origin through kind of a backtrack origin story.
A prequel? Is that what you're talking about?
Well, not a prequel, but because then it would be a Robin film, but flashbacks. There we go. Flashbacks to like when he was Robin and kind of integrating that through the movie. I think that would be kind of neat. So I think it's really cool, and I would like to see that. My question to you, Dan, is who do you think, since you kind of know different celebrities and everything, definitely more than I do, who do you think would be a good fit for playing Nightwing?
Actually, just I sent you an image of the person I think you might be a good fit for it. And don't make fun of me, because this guy's from a TV show called Vampire Diaries, but I think he has a good look, and I think he could actually do it well. And his name is Ian Somerhalder, I think is the name how you say it. Ian Somerhalder. And he's
got a good look for it. Yeah, I agree with the look.
Yeah, and I've watched Vampire Diaries in the past, and I've seen him on the show, and the character isn't necessarily that he plays anything like Nightwing, but I think he has a strong personality. He's actually a pretty strong actor. Maybe even Kit Harington. He might not have the size for it, but he does kind of look like, you know, he could be an acrobat or something like that. But
not anymore. You see these actors like really transform their body for a role. So I don't think that's really an issue. I think you give them some time. Like, I think they usually turn that around in like what, half a year, maybe. even less with some of them because they're working so hard at it.
I mean, Ben Affleck got gigantic for Batman, so anything.
Yeah, exactly. And what's his name? Star-Lord, got really, skinny down, then beefed up. Like, that was an amazing transformation. So I don't think he could you really need to go on that. I think you need to go on whether they fit the character, personality, acting-wise, and a little bit of the face more than body type. Because these actors anymore, amazingly transform their bodies.
Yeah, I mean, remember, no one thought Matt Damon was an action star until Bourne. Like, you can make anyone into an action star. The other guy I thought of, too, because if Batman is Ben Affleck, you would have to find someone who's, in, maybe 10, 15 years younger than him. Did you ever watch True Blood at all?
Yeah, yes, I watched the first two seasons, and then I just, there was no reason, but I just didn't continue, really.
It eventually gets really bad, but do you remember Sookie's brother, Jason?
Yes, yes, yes.
He's actually British, for one. I know he's a huge Southern accent, yeah. He's actually British, but I think he might work, because I think he's around that age range, and he was pretty athletic in that show, so I think he might... Yeah. Might end up being good.
Straight man talking here, but he had a really nice body in True Blood. Like, I would like to get, if I could get that body, I would totally sign up for it.
I was trying to also think of other people that might be able to fit the role, but those are the ones. Kit Harington, I don't know if I mentioned him. Jon Snow from Game of Thrones.
I feel like he's
one of those actors that gets thrown out for everything. Why not Idris Elba? Because he gets put every people just always put his name with things. So Idris Elba it used to be Michael Fassbender and Tom Hardy, but I think people have kind of stopped doing that. So now it's Idris Elba. But I don't know. Anyone that comes to mind for you at all?
No, not really. It's tough for me because there's so many actors out there. It's hard to keep track of them all. So I really don't have anybody in my mind. Maybe another CW show. He might be a little bit too old for the part, but one of the brothers from and I'm not coming up with the name. Oh, Supernatural. That's the name of the show. I watched the show and I couldn't come up with the name. Dean Winchester might be kind of cool in that role. He's kind of on the beefier side too, but like I said, they really can transform their bodies for roles. Other than that, I don't really know.
So another guy that I know, his name is Jack O'Connell, and he's not done a lot of mainstream things. Like, he was in Unbroken, that Angelina Jolie directed film. He was a World War II pilot. He played an Olympic athlete that was a World War II pilot who crashed and ends up in a POW camp in Japan. And he was the main character in that. And he was also in the movie Startup that I mentioned previously. He's just a really strong actor, so I think he could work. Again, he might be too young though, because he's early 20s, I think. But so that's, I guess it depends on how they want to do the character and how.
Well,
old.
Batman's kind of old at this point.
Yeah,
supposed to be old. I'm not sure if you really could put Ben Affleck in the age range of the Batman in the actual comic that they're basing it off of. But
is Nightwing movie going to be taking place around the same time as Batman v Superman? Would it be previous, before, so I guess that's the question, but it's a question that will eventually be answered. So, but yeah, I think that's all I got for today. I don't know if there's any other news stories you wanted to bring up.
Well, I have a little bit of local news, and I'm sorry, it's kind of a little bit on the depressing side, especially for us comic nerds. Yes. Yes, 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 I know. There's actually this place that Chuck and I went once, and I think we told a story. This one guy's house in Old Forge, it's near us, near Scranton, and he was selling comic books, like newer comic books and some older stuff out of his garage. So Chuck's like, you want to check that out? I was like, yeah, sure, I'll go. Why not? So we go there and we go walking in between two houses where we felt really weird, like we were breaking into the place. And we get back partway and this lady comes out carrying garbage, taking the garbage out. And this older lady, and she gets scared by us coming through. She's like, oh, and go, oh, sorry. We were just, we thought there's a guy selling comics back here or something. She's like, oh, yeah, it's my son. Go on back. So we go back and it's this huge garage with a lot of boxes in it. But apparently they're all filled with comics and everything. There's like comics everywhere and collectibles and everything. He's behind this like kind of like a store, actual store counter, which is kind of weird. And then he had another spot where he was actually selling stuff. So that was kind of cool. But actually I heard like a couple of days ago that this place actually burned down. And like, I'm not sure how much he's going to be able to retrieve out of that. But he lost a huge collection, apparently, because it's from years and years. And he used to own a comic book store in Scranton. So there's also comics from that. They actually had the comic owner that the store I go to, Dave Romeo from Comics on the Green, they actually interviewed him for it. They actually gave up a lot of time. I'm not sure if it was a slow news week or what, but they gave a lot of time for this story, which I was surprised about. And they gave Dave a lot of time interviewing him and asking him questions.
Really?
Yeah, so it was interesting, kind of sad at the same time that somebody could I'm kind of like scared now with my collection and everything, because I'm like, it's all in one spot. There's a huge pile of it. Like,
did anything survive at all, or was it all gone?
You know, one guy found like just a random comic near the sidewalk that was kind of singed and a little bit wet. And it was like late 70s, early 80s Daredevil comic. So I'm not sure how much that is worth. Chuck said while he was in there, the guy let him hold his copy of Amazing Fantasy number 15. So that's a pricey one. Very pricey.
Did he have a fire? You think you'd have a fire case for those, but I guess maybe not.
Yeah, I think you'd have some kind of special storage for those. The thing with those kind of things, though, like a fire safe, sometimes if you, because I was looking into this before, and apparently there's like some kind of chemical in the air that's like on the inside of the safe or whatever, the fire retardant. It like you need to put stuff in there to suck up the moisture and stuff, because the staples will rust inside safes like that. So you kind of have to be careful with that kind of stuff. Yeah, definitely do your research before you buy a safe for your comics, because I did. And then I'm like, I don't think I want one. It sounds worse for them than just having them out in the open in long boxes. Like it's kind of a crapshoot, but and they also said that it's going to be difficult to find what the source of the fire was, because of all the comics and everything in there. I guess it's covering up a lot of stuff, and it's a lot of stuff to shift and find your way through to figure out what's going on. I'm not a fire marshal, so I don't know what that really consists of, but it sounds like it's going to be a difficult task, and like they may not find out how it happened. And I actually told you this story through a text before, and you're like, I wonder if he's just doing it for insurance money.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's kind of.
You never know.
Yeah, exactly. You never know. Like, there's this also a guy in, not comic related at all, but a guy has gone missing from Old Forge, and he's been missing for like weeks and weeks now. And there's a whole bunch of different theories about what happened to him. There's blood. There was a tooth found. And some people are thinking that one's like, some kind of like he had a lot of bills and stuff, so he's trying to disappear off the face of the planet. So you never know what happens behind closed doors.
Maybe he's the one that started the fire. See,
yeah. So hopefully it wasn't anything seedy, but it's kind of regrettable and I feel bad for the guy that his collection has been destroyed after that many years of collecting and hunting down comics and different collectibles and stuff.
Yeah, that's thanks. That's awful. Yeah, it's a sad day. You know, that like that's something you need a Kickstarter for, right? To help him get his collection back in some ways.
Yeah. So. Yeah, and like on actually Kevin Smith show the Comic Book Men, which is actually something good that Kevin Smith does. I actually like that. I haven't watched it in a while. I wish it came on Netflix and so I could watch it. They had like the first two seasons, but then that was it. But like Mike from that show lost his a lot of his collection in a flood, and he lost like a George Perez like poster or something that he had since he was little, and it was like one of the things that got him started in collecting comics because it was so cool and everything. And it was nice of the guys in the store. They actually went out and got George Perez to draw him. I forget which character they had him draw, but they got him a drawing from George Perez, which was pretty cool.
See, at least we're ending on some positive note. It'll be instead of a dower, but anyways, I think that'll bring us to the end of this week's episode. But if you want to get in contact with us, there's a lot of different ways. You can email us at feedback@geekcastradio.com or talkinginCircles@live.com. We're on Facebook and Twitter. Just search Talking in Circles, CCRN. You are also on Twitter. What is your Twitter name?
I am at The Create Forge. And if you guys want to check out Chuck on Twitter, he is at Heroic Age Chuck.
I am at Movie Revolt. But that'll be it for this week. We'll be back next week. Same time, same channel, same podcast feed. But for now,
this has been Greg, or the guy that really has to go to the bathroom because this podcast has been going on for a while.
This has been Dan letting Greg go to the bathroom. That's bad. That can take him way out of context. And we've been talking in circles.
See you in golden next showers. Time.
Yeah, we are not. I promise there's no secrets. CIA Russian tape of us. Yeah. Man, that escalated quickly.
Yeah, sorry. It was funny, but pertinent at the time.